science.
Pig organs, dragon's blood, and a moon of Saturn. It all sounds very dark and mystical. Welcome to Research Filter. It's getting very, very strange tonight. Upali Divasekara is here to explain why all these things have scientific discovery in common. She's a science communicator and a molecular biologist at Monash University. Let's start with the dragon's blood. Why don't we? Let's just go straight there.
The best thing.
Tell me, scientists have made some interesting discoveries about antibiotics and dragons or something. Help me.
I know, it makes complete sense, right?
It does.
It's straight out of Harry Potter. Well, what scientists have found is that Komodo dragons, as you might be aware, they actually have a lot of really kind of gross bacteria in their teeth, but they're somehow resistant to these bacteria. They're not infected or affected by them. So they decided to have a look at Komodo dragon blood. So they bled the tail of one of these dragons, and what they did was they looked for things that would actually kill other bacteria, and they found some. And those things are called cationic antimicrobial peptides. So what they've basically found is a new kind of antibiotic.
That's pretty incredible. So how does the immune system of a dragon work? Like, and how can that help, well, us?
Well, all organisms actually have something called an innate immune system. So we might be more familiar with the adaptive one, where, you know, if you're given a vaccination, you're given a weakened strain of something, and your adaptive immune system recognises and keeps a memory of it in your body to deal with the next time you have that infection. But the innate immune system doesn't have a memory. It's just a basic mechanism for dealing with foreign organisms. And a lot of the time, those mechanisms can involve punching holes in membranes. And so CAMPs are part of that kind of arsenal that the innate immune system has to deal with foreign organisms. So all kinds of creatures have them, including dragons, it turns out, and it turns out that they're particularly effective against certain kinds of bacteria.
Can this discovery eventually be used to treat humans?
Yes, it can. So they've actually tested a few of these CAMPs that they found in the dragon's blood on mice, and to see how the wound healing went, to see how if it could destroy the bacterial biofilms. And it did, and it assisted with wound healing. So we have the potential for new antibiotics that can be used in the clinic.
Which is impressive.
And these are actually made of amino acids, and most antibiotics are actually small molecules. So this is quite different as well. So we've got hope for new antibiotics. It's
incredible.
Great.
All right. Now, we spend a lot of time looking deep into space for alien life.
Yeah.
But something has come up a little closer to home. What have we learnt about Saturn's moon?
Well, Saturn's moon Enceladus. So Saturn has about 32 moons, and the most interesting ones so far have been Titan and also Enceladus. But Enceladus is really interesting because in 2015, spacecraft Cassini, which has been on a 22-year journey to and around Saturn, exploring its moons and its surface. Well, not its surface, its chemistry. They've actually found plumes emanating from Enceladus. Now, Enceladus looks like a giant, really round, smooth snowball. And they thought it was frozen solid, but it turns out that the plumes indicate there's actually water under that icy surface, which suggests that it has a rocky core and there's maybe a little bit of geothermal activity. So that's the first thing. The plumes had water and it had organic material in it, which is already looking really good for life. This time around, so it was reported last week, they actually found that there was hydrogen in those vents. And what that suggests is, in those plumes, it suggests that there's actually hydrothermal activity, hydrothermal vents, and we know that on Earth, next to hydrothermal vents, you get life. So what it tells us is that there's some warm layer of water underneath that icy surface. Closer to the core, it'll be really, really hot as well. But that means that there's a really high likelihood that there's life.
Okay, that is very exciting to anyone
incredibly
who
exciting.
Is even broadly interested in sci-fi. And I've definitely put myself in that camp. So I'm loving what this might be. But what's different about this discovery? Because it seems like we've heard before about different, you know, planets with potentially the right conditions. How is this?
Well, this is different because a lot of the other planets that we've heard about are sort of exoplanets. They're on distant stars. We're using this kind of massive proxy to see if they've actually got habitable, surfaces. They have to be at the right distance, the right composition, but we can really directly detect it here. And it's also something that's really directly relatable to what we see on Earth. So there's a really, really strong chance that there's maybe microbial life there. That's what makes it exciting.
Incredible. All right. The last item on your scientific to-do list is organ transplantation. I got that out. I'm very proud of myself. Scientists are working on developing organs in labs. British doctors have made some progress in this area. Tell me what they plan to do.
Well, what they're actually planning to do is kind of use pig organs to generate human organs. So we're not quite at the stage yet of moving too far beyond transplantation from donors. And that's, as we know, donors are always, finding donors is always an issue. In this instance, what you'd like to be able to do is grow an organ in a jar, and often that will require a scaffold. So I don't know if you heard a couple of weeks ago, the scientists reported that they'd had a spinach leaf. They took away all the cells and just left the cellulose on there and grew some heart, muscle and blood vessels on there. So what doctors in the UK are planning to do is to actually modify pig esophagus, because there are some babies who are born with congenital defects in their esophagus. So what they're going to do is take these esophagus from the pig, dissolve away most of the pig matter, and then use the baby's own stem cells to generate an esophagus so that it won't be rejected by the baby and can be transplanted.
That's incredible.
It's pretty spectacular. Yeah.
What sort of time frame are we talking about?
Well, to actually grow it will take about 8 weeks, and then maybe you'll have to wait about until the baby's about 2 to 3 months old to actually transplant it in, so it'll be safe to do so. But the implications are huge, because you should be able to do it with many kinds of organs and membranes then.
That's absolutely incredible. Hey, you've just blown my mind tonight, which is pretty much what I wanted you to
Fantastic.
Do. Thank you. It's Ubali Divasekara. She's a science communicator and a molecular biologist at Monash University.